Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor in Paradise wrap up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, we did it. We made it through the finale. How are you feeling?
I can't believe we made it here. It's like we have fingers full of engagement rings. I can't believe it. It feels like it went by so fast, but here we are at the finale with true love overflowing.
True love in triple form. And more love to await us when Nick is the Bachelor. So happy stories all around, except for maybe for Jen this season. And
yeah, she really got the shaft here
on this final episode. And then the first night for Ashley I, she got a little bit of a sob story as well. So a lot to cover, a lot of engagements. Overall, though, how are your feelings about this season?
I may play a heartless bitch on the internet, but I'm pretty soft. So I'm happy with all the love we found. Three engagements, though, like, that's a lot.
It's a little bit overkill. It's kind of like we knew once we saw the first one. Okay, I think these are all going to be engagements except for the one that they spoiled us on, Nick and Jen.
Yeah, so that kind of sucked. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed both of these episodes quite a bit.
Okay, well, let's dive in with the first episode, where this is where we are down to the final people, but we also get a random late arrival still. I wasn't expecting that. We got the chicken enthusiast, and
like it's kind of like, what's the point? You know that person's not staying, and it was proved when Nick went and asked her for the date card so him and Jen could go out. So Tara just kind of got to hang out in Mexico for like a single night. It's just like it's what frustrates me about this show.
Yeah, I thought that was a little rude of Nick. I mean, I see what he was doing, but come on, let the girl at least go on a date. That's not fair.
Yeah, he must have told her, like, girl, you don't have a chance with anyone here. You might as well just give me the date card.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think she really cared about their love story or anything. But it is interesting that Nick wanted to have this, you know, romantic date with Jen to figure things out. And then it didn't end up, you know, leading to anything. But since when did this show become where you have to end with an engagement or break up? Seems like that's what they were setting up this time. I thought it could just be, we see where this is going.
Yeah, somewhere, I don't know if it was a tweet or like a Periscope or on Snapchat or something, but Wells apparently said that Chris Harrison said, if you can't see yourself proposing to this person at the end of, like, after the fantasy suite date, like, they're like, don't even bother going to the fantasy suite date, which is like so stupid to me.
That's really stupid. That's the opposite of their other shows, because it's like, Bachelor, Bachelorette, you have three fantasy suite dates. You're still trying to figure it out. Why do they have to commit right away?
It's so stupid to me. Because, like, how do you expect Wells, who came in 2 weeks after, to be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm ready to propose to this person who I literally just met. It's so stupid. And it goes totally against, like, the normal constructs of relationship. Mm-hmm. And, like, I get that The Bachelor is everything in hyperspeed, but it's just, like, it doesn't make sense. And, like, why wouldn't you want more happy stories? Like, oh, yeah, like, let's continue to date in the real world. Like, to mm-hmm. me, that is a satisfying ending to a storyline on this show as well.
Right. Or why wouldn't you want more, on the flip side, more dramatic breakups where it's, like, they have the fantasy suite date, and then they don't get the final rose, you know? Like, hey, yeah, after we were together, I decided, no, not for me. So it just makes it sort of that second to last episode just a little bit ho-hum, you know? Because why did Wells even give her the rose then? Why didn't he pull a Brett? I don't remember.
Brett.
Why didn't he pull a lamp guy and just say, I'm going to leave here. I'm not taking anyone to the fantasy suite.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a little frustrating to me. But let's go back to that first episode. So Jen and Nick had what it seemed like a great date, but it's like, why are we watching this? You spoiled this for us last week. What's the point? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So then we get to pre-rose ceremony. There's a couple girls who don't really know where it's going. So there's Lauren H. and Izzy still going for Brett. And then we have Jamie, Shoshana, and Ashley I going for Wells. Mm-hmm. In the Lauren and Izzy and Brett triangle, we see Lauren go and talk to Brett. They make out. And then he goes and tells Izzy, like, hey, girl, I'm more into Lauren. Yeah. And so she loses her shit and leaves. And then, it, like, the whole scene was just, like, mind-blowing to me. That she was like, I have to leave. I have to go see Vinny. I have to go be with him. I made a mistake. Like, you're only doing this because Brett was like, nah, girl, I'm good. Like, right. Why? What makes you think that Vinny's like, yeah, sloppy seconds. Cool, 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 cool. So she pieces out. She calls him. And Vinny, oh my God, he was such a savage and I loved it. It's just like instant karma almost. And like, mm-hmm. sure, it's producer manipulated karma, but whatever, I'm in. Mm-hmm. He's like,
who are you? She's like, hey, it's Izzy. And yeah, he's just like, new phone, who dis, you know? So
yeah, basically. And then she's like, can I come see you? Like, I made a huge mistake. Like, I love you. Like, what I did was stupid. And he said, like, no, like, the moment you said you wanted to, like, see where things would go with Brett, I lost all feelings for you. And I could never get that back. It's just like, oh, what, Vinny?
Yeah. No. And it's really genuine, too. He wouldn't be saying that. It's like, you could tell when she broke up with him that he was just like, otherwise he would have stuck around if he thought maybe there was a chance. Yeah. If he still had those feelings, he wouldn't have left Paradise when he did. Because I was thinking, hey, why not see if, you know, something else can work out? Or just, you know, it's like when she did that, he saw how shallow that was and impulsive that was. And it's like, that's not an attractive quality that I was looking for.
No, it's not. And the fact that like she even thought that he would consider taking her back is just kind of like stupid.
And let's say
like,
let's say he did. And then they're at home watching the timing of when she did it, too. Then it'd be like another like, OK, now I'm done, you know, because it was only we just saw her say, like, I'm in love with Brett. Like, it's so great. I can see like
things going well. Here.
I did the right thing. Getting like, rid of Vinny.
It was a really frustrating thing to watch.
Right.
And like, I can see where Izzy was coming from in that, like in the situation where she was like, whoa, 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 things with Vinny are getting too real. Here's this guy who I think is really hot. And like, I completely understand her doubting her relationship with Vinny mm-hmm. because like, I don't know. I feel like that's a normal thing. And especially if you've only been together for a couple of weeks, something just doesn't quite feel right. And like, you're not in that deep yet. Like, mm-hmm. So I understand it from that, but like doing a total 360 and being like, Vinny, I really do want to be with you. It's just like, girl, like, no, just accept that you effed up and move on.
Yeah. I think she needs to do
it. She just
lace.
Made herself look so much worse. Right. And she was just like, yep. I made a mistake.
She just needs some time on her own, like lace 1.0 and just do like some Izzy time and figure out what she's looking for, what she wants for sure. And can we just jump
ahead?
I mean,
she's probably only like what, like 23, 24 months.
It's ridiculous. Can we jump ahead to, you know, how they show at the end, the little ending credits, what they did with Vinny? I just thought it was so brilliant. So like, Vinny is doing just fine. And then it was like all his
Instagram. We got updates on all the couples. There's like pictures of him with like a bunch of different girls. And like, it was pretty rich.
Yeah, that was good. So Izzy leaves. So we know who, well, we think we know who Brett is going to pick. But it turns out that he just wanted a little variety, I guess, for the end of the season. And then wasn't going to pick anyone else.
He said like, oh, I heard everyone saying like how they're gonna get engaged and I don't think I could be there, so I'm just gonna head on out, like literally after telling Lauren like mm-hmm. yeah, I'm gonna pick you, like that's also an effed up turnaround. Like Lauren's like, wait, excuse me, like what's going on here?
Right. This has to be.
I'm
tied
mad
to
at Brett and
Chris
I was
Harrison.
Mad at Izzy too, so they should be together because they're both annoying.
Right. Yeah, it must be what you were saying that Wells said about Chris Harrison giving them the engagement ultimatum or whatever, because maybe they just don't want to edit it down and get rid of people.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
But we have a question about what we're going to do to fix the show. So we'll get to that right at the end.
We'll be storing up all our ideas that they always want to steal from us anyway. So
let's go to the Love Square.
Okay. Yes. Wells. His Love Square.
Wells. Mm-hmm. So let's cut one out. Shoshana realizes it's not in cards for her, so she bursts out crying and pieces out. Like, all right, see you later, Shoshana.
Right, because he's just like, sorry, I met these other two first. You came in late. You were hot, but it's not going to be you. And she's like, I don't compete. I'm just going to leave. And, you know, she didn't want to be embarrassed at the rose ceremony, and she heads out. They got some tears out of her, and they could use that for the previews and things like that. So that worked for them, I guess. But it was getting too complicated to just... I hate at the end how it just piles on. Again, we'll talk about ways to fix it. Piles on with, like, too many women with limited options, you know, because everyone gets paired up. Okay, so she's out. Then we're down to Jamie, Ashley, so I.
So Wells and Jamie go have a talk, and, like, I buy their connection more than I buy Wells and Ashley I.
Okay.
Feel like they have way more chemistry. I think there could have been a bug in Wells' ear being like, pick Ashley I.
A producer bug, Haley?
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of crabs running around the island. So
some spirit animal.
But just for some reason, I don't know. Wells and Jamie just had, like, a connection that I bought, where the one with Ashley seemed, like, cool and friendly, but it wasn't... There didn't seem to be a whole lot of romantic connotations.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think Ashley knows how to be in a relationship or, like, in a pre-relationship.
Mm-hmm. She knows how to kind of turn on the, like, oh, yeah, totally, everything's cool for, like, 5 seconds and convince Wells... Oh, you're totally different than I expected. And then we see her in her confessionals being like, oh, yeah.
I'm in love with him. Yeah. I'll marry him the second.
Yeah. But I'm just going to keep acting like I don't care that he's on another date. I'm going to keep acting like it's totally normal because he seems to totally like that. And I want to, like, keep him forever. So, yeah.
So he gives his rose to Ashley, which is, like, short-lived because by morning, like, they're both gone. So who gives an S?
But we get to see this whole talk about, like, ooh, Ashley, are you going to give it up to Wells? And
oh, like, my God. Like, I have had enough of Ashley's virginity to last me a goddamn time.
Right. Well, so I started thinking maybe that was the reason Wells picked her. Not that he wanted to take her virginity, but that he was like, okay, I just want another day in paradise and I want more airtime. And I know nothing's going to go down in the fantasy suite because it's Ashley I, and I'm not going to do that. And that's like, she's not going to want to do that. Because he was talking to the guys about, like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And then it seemed like once he started to realize, like, oh, maybe, you know, and they're kind of joking about it. Maybe she is expecting something. Then he wanted out and was like, oh, no. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't see a really strong connection between the two of them besides just like, hey, we're like popular characters on this show. And it'd be more fun to go this route than with Jamie, who no one remembers.
Mm-hmm. So we say goodbye to the internet boyfriend and Ashley I. Once again, she leaves crying on, like, the last day.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I don't know. How do you feel about this? Where are you at here?
Yeah, what's next for Ashley I? I mean, has her story played out? Because...
Yeah, where else can we go with it? We hit the Jared Pinata to, like, every piece of confetti has completely disintegrated on the ground. This Wells storyline doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried to, like, have a little wink and a nod at the end when they say that Jared and Kayla broke up, and then they show Ashley's face lighting up, but it's like, please, we cannot bring these two back to Bachelor in Paradise next season.
No, we don't need to see Jared on our TVs, I don't know, ever again.
Right. Right. So, I mean, she could be maybe the first three-peat on Paradise, but I hope not. The producers love her. I do like her, like, cutting of the other contestants, like, just cutting them down in confessionals. And when she's being fun, but I just, it's
yeah, I like Ashley, but mm-hmm. I don't like her storylines because they're just like beating a dead horse over and over and over again. Like, right. We've heard her virginity a million times. We've heard her crying a million times. Or we've heard Jared a million times. It's just like, unless you're going to give me something new with this character, then like, don't bother.
Right. Right. So they're gone.
They gone.
They're gone.
Bye.
All right. So we're left with our couples.
Right? Our couples.
We didn't miss anyone.
We go into the finale with these four couples. The finale.
Okay. So at this point, which couple are you feeling strongest about? Which one? I mean, I obviously know where Nick and Jen are going, but were you expecting three engagements?
I wasn't, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, what I thought was going to happen, I thought Amanda and Josh.
Yeah.
And then she was going to say yes. And then I thought there was going to be Nick and Jen was going to say no.
Okay, I thought that too for a little while because the previews show Nick crying.
Yeah.
And
so maybe they tricked us into that.
That would have made Nick a little more, well, we have some questions about it, but like a little more, I don't know, sympathetic maybe on this last episode about why he would be the bachelor if he was turned down. But that's not the case.
That wasn't the case.
No.
And so then, yeah, let's, do you want to do a couple, Amanda and Josh, they're the most boring. I don't give a shit about them, frankly.
Right. Yeah, we knew this would happen, even though he kind of was like, well, I haven't met her kids, and it didn't work out for me before.
Amanda, you are the best thing that has ever happened to me. You are the love of my life. I can't wait to meet Charlie 1 and Charlie 2 and be a family together. Like, my brother was like, what the shit is with his vocal cadences?
Totally.
And I was like, I was literally just thinking the same thing because it is unnecessarily aggressive.
It totally is.
Like, I would not respond well to that type of like speaking.
It's either like that or then it's just like,
Or he's fucking sweating through everything. Like, I'll give him slack. I am also a sweaty person.
Okay.
And being in the like humidity of Mexico for 3 weeks, like I would just be like sweat city. But I'd also like not wear a shirt that like plastered to my body to show the sweat.
Yeah. At first I was like, did they just jump in a pool together?
No, that was just like his body reacting to the situation.
I know.
And like she was like, oh, Josh, you're crying. Don't cry, babe. And it's like, girl, he's not crying. That's just sweat.
Sweat dripping.
He's just sweating. Just
paused for a moment on his tear duct, but it was just from his forehead. My gosh. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like all we did was see them make out. I never saw the real connection.
I'm tired of that.
So at least with, I don't know, Jade and Tanner, you kind of see a little sweetness on their dates and you could feel the love story growing and them, it's just like, I guess they're in love, but yeah, I don't get it.
Just made out and made out with like everyone, which is like really off-putting to me.
Very, very off-putting.
One of my favorite revelations from After Paradise, which I watched most of, was that Lace and Grant often snuck away to do it in different places throughout the resort, which I thought was hilarious.
Okay, well, this is a first because I did not. First, where you watched After Paradise and I did not. So you'll have to fill me in on all the revelations this time around.
Yeah, I turned the TV off before Josh and Amanda because I was like, don't care. But there was like, they even like had this like clip package where they'd show people fighting and then they'd show Grant and Lace like using that opportunity to sneak off and do it.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, let's talk Grace, Lace, and Grant, because they made the big step of going to a tattoo parlor together and getting wrist tattoos.
Getting matching tattoos.
Is that wise, Haley?
No, it's not. There's just nothing that could dust me to get a tattoo of our couple name, and they are so incredibly lucky that Grace is like an actual word,
right?
And if they break up, they can kind of like spin that to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But like if my boyfriend and I were to get one, it would be like Thalia and it would be stupid, and also that wouldn't happen because we have respect for each other.
Yeah.
And ourselves.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. So I don't know. It's sort of like, yeah, I'm not really into that they did that, but it was something a little more exciting that they did on their final day than the other dates, which weren't very memorable. I think Amanda and Josh played baseball, which is exactly what he did with Andy, right?
Josh loves children, and it's really great because I don't know if I've told you this, but I have children, and it's really great to see Josh as a father.
Man, I love kids. I love hanging out with them. I cannot wait to meet Amanda's kids.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, well, we got to see a picture and they look like a happy family, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it. Like, yeah. I mean, whatever, YOLO, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's the wisest Amanda to get engaged.
Amanda is a year older than me. It stresses me.
It's scary. Does she have two kids? That she thinks Josh is the one, that he's so great. And yeah, Josh as a father
figure. He's not perfect, but he's perfect for Amanda.
True. Oh, dear. All right. Back to Grace, Grant, and Lace. They were the rockiest, at least,
man,
on
I
this
just,
episode.
Like, they are the couple that makes the least sense to me. But man, do I buy it. I just like want them to work out.
Mm. So they make less sense to you than Carly and Evan?
Yes.
Really? Okay, let's dive into this.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like Carly has always had that kind of odd and quirky side. And like, I, for some reason, now that like her and Evan just kind of click and I mm-hmm. see it, where Grace and Grant, Lace and Grant, Lace mm-hmm. is just kind of like out there and she's like blocked off all the time and she's kind of like a lunatic. And Grant is always just kind of like, I love you, even though we met 18 seconds ago. And it's kind of, and she's kind of mm. Like she made that noise basically when he's like, I love you.
Yeah, she's like, exactly. Ah.
Yeah. She made that noise.
Well, like she's a spaz like, and he's canon. Just too calm or boring.
Yeah. And so like, I really do think they balance her out, and it kind of something else that happened in the after Paradise was Sean was like, it felt like a special kind of guy for to take, you know, to handle Lace. And it's kind of like, oh, fuck you, Sean. Like, sorry, you're so yeah. vanilla.
Totally.
It's kind of like, man, just I like that Grant lets Lace be herself. And maybe I'm like projecting because I'm also one of those people. Like, Lace, like, it takes a special person to deal with me and who I am. So I really feel a connection with Lace. And so like, I love that Grant is patient with her and loves her unconditionally. And when she pulls away, he's like, all right, but I'm going to be here when you pull back.
Mm-hmm. Plus they both look like models, or they could be
yeah,
models,
I mean,
or
that
are
helps.
Models.
That
yeah. yeah. So I guess, was he just trying to do, like, you know, on Friends, like Chandler and Monica, and like before they get engaged, spoiler alert, it's long
okay,
enough. It's been long enough.
Been off the air for
yes,
years,
exactly. So like he's getting nervous about proposing. And so then she mm-hmm. thinks that like, oh, no, yeah. he's going to break up with me, or like something's yeah, off. Yeah, like yeah. he doesn't want to get married. And was it that kind of thing? Because it's like he obviously can't say he's going to propose, just like. If
yeah,
it was a
I think that's
bachelorette.
Exactly what it was. And Lace has kind of been so unsure throughout this whole process that really kind of knocked her off her balance even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the point where she was like, we're either going to get engaged and work out, or it's just not going to work out. Like, the engagement
there's
was like
an
her only
between,
goal.
Guys.
I know.
There's an in between. It's called dating. It's called yeah. being in like a relationship.
Right.
For a while, you know, hanging out.
Were they all just like really wanting the free, like nice ring? Was that the motivator?
Maybe. I know I would.
That would be a good motivation.
Like, what's the amount of time you have to like stay together? Is it like 3 years or something? And then you get to keep the ring?
Yeah,
I would
so
like
it's pretty reasonable.
Make the relationship for that long and sell it and then pay my student loans off, go on a nice vacation, split the money with the guy too. I don't care.
Right.
And I'd be like, nice knowing you, because all these people are like 23 anyway. So like by the time all this situation ends, they'll be like 26 and they'll be ready for like a real life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they had the parade of Neil Lane where all the guys got to pick from a selection. And
and foreshadowing from Neil Lane, is this the last time we're going to see you? Nick says, oh, I hope so. And then I'm making this up probably, but I feel like Neil Lane like looked into the camera, Jim from The Office style. It was just kind of like shrugged. It was like,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. And what another thing I noticed with the Neil Lane segments is like when Josh comes by, Neil's like, Josh, old buddy. And then when I think it was when Evan came, he's like, are you Evan? Like, you're a contestant. Like, you don't fit the part. Like, this cannot be.
So. Like, I remember when you proposed your last, you know,
yeah, whatever happened to that ring? Oh, well. Let's go back to...
Oh, well. Plot twist is the same one.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to proposal with Grant and Lace. I thought theirs was, like, the nicest or sweetest or, I don't know, the way...
Because you didn't say freaking during it?
Yes, exactly. And he didn't have the Josh rhythm going on, so...
Hey, will you marry me? Will you freaking marry me? Just kidding, he didn't say freaking, Evan did. Will you freaking marry me, man?
It's like a little cartoon character. Okay, I guess we have to talk about... It sounds like you've come around on them a little bit. Is it because...
I've come around. Here I am.
Wow. Okay.
Because, like, now Carly seems so into it that I buy it.
Okay, because we don't think... Well, Carly's even if the type she's like, fake.
I don't understand what's going on, but I'm in.
Okay. What were they like on After Paradise?
They were very cute, very in love. Nikki Glaser said during the commercial break that they just like made out the whole time, which is like weird to me. Anyway, I did a little Insta lurk and, you know, she said like, oh, I was so excited to meet his kids finally. I finally got to follow them on Instagram. I love that. And she's like, oh, we wore disguises, so we got to hang out. I think they had the incredible benefit of both living in Nashville at the time.
That is a good benefit. And I think a good benefit in forming the relationship as well while you're in Mexico. Like, hey, this could actually
work.
Because
you're like,
oh,
I can see, like, we can more easily see a future together because, like, we're in the same city.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this story give hope to, or should it make a bachelor, bachelorette rethink their strategy on night one? Because she, like, Evan would have been someone she got rid of first night on the limo, you know, and they came completely, you know, from thinking he's disgusting, I have to vomit, there's no chemistry, to, okay, I've never been this in love. What do you make of that arc or that story? What's the lesson to take from it?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know what the lesson is to take. Cause like, and I'm like, I kind of almost feel like whatever's supposed to happen will happen. And so like, if you send that person home, you're supposed to send them home.
Okay.
And yeah, like, Evan she just happened to stay and just keep staying.
Which is weird. Cause there are times where she had the power and she could have given, you know, rather than one of the twins giving the rose to Nick, she could have given the rose to Nick to be like, you know what, let's get rid of Evan. But there must've been some little nugget of, you know, in the back of her head thinking, you know, he's a nice guy or I want to give him a chance. But it's so weird. I never thought anyone would come back from vomiting after kissing someone.
I know, that's a real turnaround.
And their love story survived her watching his season with JoJo and his whininess and
his thing to Chad, and it lasted him watching her throw up after kissing him
and him going after Amanda when Carly rejected him.
Oh, I forgot
most
about
traumatic
that
way.
Oh my god, that was horrendous. I just completely pushed that out of my brain space.
That should be interesting. Now, which of these couples is going to get the Jade and Tanner royal treatment? Any?
This is okay. See, here's the thing with all these couples. Josh and Amanda are the prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
Evan and Carly are the most likely to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Harrison loves Lace the most.
Mm. But Grant was like a nobody.
So it's really hard. Yeah. So it's really hard for me to tell which one is really going to be like the new jewel in the franchise crown. Right. Because I think they all bring such different things to this.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because the prettiest wedding, you know, aesthetically pleasing wedding would be Josh and Amanda. She's got the adorable yes. flower girl daughters. Yeah. And yeah. And it's like a redemption for Josh, even though he's not a likable character. Amanda is. As far as, yeah, Lace and Grant. Grant doesn't bring much to the table. But they, I also think they, I don't know, that they could be likely to get married, maybe. And then it didn't seem like the show really wanted to invest in the Carly Evan story because they want to show Evan as the dweeb.
That idea?
Yeah, like get rid of theirs first and like they get that out of the way and just be like, let's totally embarrass Evan and make him look ridiculous. And I think Carly, from her like confession, like she was totally like genuine about the love story, but it didn't match with the narrative of the show. Like I think she was like, oh, it's gonna be so great, we're gonna be Jade and Tanner, but the show totally did not give them that edit at all.
Yeah.
They just sort of had to throw it together at the end, like, oh yeah. But yeah, maybe like Chris Harrison said, there'll be a triple wedding.
No, I'm not here for that.
Yeah, no good.
I can't imagine Josh ever going for that.
Right.
He's too much of a prima donna.
Right. So let's discuss Jen and Nick. This Jen.
I'm sad about this.
Okay. What makes you sad?
I don't know. Like, I get that Jen didn't bring a whole lot to the table personality wise, but for some reason, I really liked her. She seemed smart. She seemed level headed. She seemed like funny and, you know, great, and she's beautiful, and her and Nick seem to really just kind of like fit together. And you know, I like Nick, and so I was just sad that this ended how it did.
Yeah. And because it got to the point where she told him, did she say I'm in love with you or I'm falling in love
with
you?
Yeah, she did. And yeah. If you would have just like read what she said, you'd have been like, oh, like this is completely mismatched, or like she's not getting him.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell like when he wasn't looking at her, she was kind of like she was not stuttering, but I don't know. She just wasn't.
Yeah. As soon as he said like, I'm forever changed, or I'm a better person because I met you, something like that, her face just dropped. Like she knew.
I feel like she knew when she was saying what she was saying that like this wasn't going to end well, but she was just kind of finishing her words. Like she started kind of like not totally buying what she was saying. She was stumbling over herself. She was trying to like get in Nick's sight line, and she like she's a smart enough role to like know like that's not working out.
Right. And even just the fact that they have. It's like they tell. They give a certain directive one way or the other, like you're the person who has to talk first. So it's like the person in the weaker position or the insecure position is the one who starts talking first, because like Lace had to, like Grant just stood there while Lace is like revealing her feelings and she's feeling nervous that he's not going to propose. And then I think it was Evan who started talking first to Carly, where it's like he's the underdog in the situation or something. So it's just kind of weird that way that they forced her, you know. Why couldn't he just be like, listen, you know, not make her say that, you know, and put herself out there. So that was too bad. And it was odd that he was saying like, just something in me is telling me that I can't say it back to you. And it's like, okay, well, what is that something, you know, what is that influence? And so I know we got questions about it too, but I definitely had the idea that it seemed odd that he had this turnaround.
Like, and that's why it's annoying to me that they spoiled it for us. Because there was an after Paradise episode last night. So, like, why couldn't we have announced it then? Like, it just didn't.
Right.
It just seemed like spoiling for no apparent reason, and it's really frustrating.
It is. I don't see the rationale there unless it was leaked and they're like, you know what, let's get ahead of
it. Was it like that? Was a total out of like a total out of left field pick, it seems like.
Right.
And the way that they presented it was that Luke was the bachelor until like the night before, and then something, you know, and I can buy that Nick's reception on the internet throughout Bachelor in Paradise was pretty good. And so like in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that he said he broke up with Jen because the producers were like, oh, you have a chance to be the bachelor. Like the story just doesn't check out there for me. And it's unfortunate that the way it was presented, it kind of made it seem like that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it totally seemed like that way to me, but yeah, at that point they wouldn't know how he was received. But they would know that they don't really have the best options for the finals in JoJo's season for Bachelor. So
yeah, I guess that they don't really. But they would know that Luke's reception is good by June.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe they were, even if they were just like, hey, maybe you could be, or you know, like,
yeah,
based on Unreal, you know, since that's where I get my new info about the way these shows work. But different people are assigned to different contestants and they get bonuses and stuff. So if it's like the person who's discovered Nick, for example, or something, or his producer might be like, hey, I'm gonna fight for you for the battle, you know, they're not gonna promise, but maybe they'd be like, you know, hey, what,
maybe, or
plant a seed, like, what if you, it didn't work out,
like if Nick was really here for the right reasons. I don't know, would he really give up a good relationship with Jen? I mean, it's possible, but I don't know. Right. I don't know. Maybe I'm just buying into this too much.
Well, and like he told Jen, it's like he had kind of already checked out of the experience before she got there. And then it was like, oh, maybe there is a chance with her. But maybe he was already kind of not that invested in it at that point and was just like, she's nice to spend time with. And maybe it's something. But he did kind of keep bringing up that she wasn't really his typical type. And he kind of liked that. But if that's the case, then maybe he wasn't as likely to think she was the right fit for him, you know, and maybe he needs to, maybe he truly will never be happy till he completes the full cycle of being on every single show in this franchise. So we'll see. And they definitely gave him like a glowing thing at the end too, with like his future looks bright and like, he's standing in his like Instagram in front of a,
and it's stuff that like wings. Jen didn't even get like a mention in that.
Yeah, that's rude. Okay, let's talk about some of the other updates that we got.
I like, this was the best part of the entire season, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally. I love this in like 80s and 90s movies and just whenever they do things like this.
Yeah.
It's a chance to be clever and you also get the info that you need. So they did little clips like with Chad and like, he's never going to be the bachelor.
Yeah. And they showed us like Chris Harrison being like, you told everyone at this hotel to go suck a dick. Like, yeah. That was the funniest moment. Oh, that was so the best good. Moment in this entire season besides this montage.
Right. Who else did we enjoy to get
the twins from? Are still together.
Twins, they still have each other. Do we get a Daniel update?
Wells, yeah.
I should have anyway.
Maybe, no. I don't remember.
We mentioned the Vinny one. Then with the couples, they talked about who was moving where. So Lace moved to San Francisco with Grant. And Josh moved to Orange County with Amanda. And then Carly and Evan, well, they're already in just Nashville, but they're going to move in together.
Together? I don't know.
Exactly. And she is excited to be a stepmom, which is weird. We never like ever really see anything about Evan's kids before, but they don't get the edit. Like, remember when he was like, daddy's dating JoJo. Oh,
daddy made out with JoJo kids. Like,
gosh. Oh, so creepy. And then he's already moved on. It's just weird. The weird cycle of the way the Bachelor world works. But even someone like Evan, who was, you know, like last draft in our draft, is now engaged. It's crazy. I can't understand it. But speaking of craziness, let's get into our questions, because we have a lot of them. But before that, let's wrap up with our last iTunes review to share. Do you have one to provide?
I do. I have one from Sleeping Ollie. They said, great podcast. I love listening to these ladies every week to break down the ridiculousness of this show. Thank you for the laughs and keep up the great work. Thanks, Ollie. Keep up the great reviews.
Nice. We have another short and sweet review, and you are entered into our contest, and we will mail out your package before the new year. Is that our new promise? Something like that. But whoever wins, we will notify you. Yes. Okay. Now, many, many questions. We got emails, tweets, and on the Facebook page. So let's start with some gossip came in on Twitter. So we were just talking about Nick as the next Bachelor, and this is from at Colleen Landolt. She says, am I the last to hear that Luke knocked a girl up in Texas and that's why he was fired as the Bachelor? Whoa, stop the presses. I had not heard that before we got this.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And I asked her for a link, and she's like, oh, it's just kind of like unsubstantiated with what I've seen in some forums. And I couldn't find any info about it, but this would be drama if that'd true. Be
great. I hope we find
out. Yeah, because we kind of glossed over it, but like Luke was the Bachelor. He had a flight for Monday morning, and they called him Sunday night and been like, sorry, man, you're out. Like, his days were packed. Statement. The dates were planned. His outfits were ready.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You got Caleb hard.
You did. It's either that they got some wind of this story, or they're just like, you know what? Nick is going to be much more interesting. But do you feel bad for Luke? Did you feel worse for Kayla? Or are they just, he deserved to get Caleb? Poor Luke. Yeah. You know, I'm excited for Nick. So. Speaking of Nick, this is from Gina Marie Palmieri Marsick. Do you guys think that the producers told Nick that if he dumped Jen, he'd have a shot at being the next Bachelor? It seemed like such a turnaround from Nick acting like he was going to propose to telling Jen goodbye. That being said, do you think there was any chemistry between them? I wasn't seeing it. So here's like what we were discussing. So let's break this down a little more. So you're kind of more on the side of
feel like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I feel like he had to go through like jump through the hoops of like looking rings and stuff.
He knows how to do the show. He knows how to make good TV.
Which is why he's going to be a great Bachelor.
Right. So he is going to, you know, ham it up with Neil Lane, and he is going to go to the fantasy suite, go to the last amount of time. But yeah, he was saying like it was so, you know, I loved every minute of like spending time with you and all that. So it did seem like a little bit of a, you know, shift in gears. But it also could be, you know, he's 35, she's 26. There could be other things that he was like wasn't seeing a long term future about. And yeah, their chemistry wasn't the same as when we saw Nick with Caitlin or Andy, Nick with Andy.
With Caitlin or Nick with Sean Boo.
Right. Elise Stetzler wants to know, over under 6 months for all the engaged couples until they break up. Okay, so you saw Evan and Carly most likely to
get married. Over. I'm under with Lace and Grant. Okay. Oh, I hate that. So,
yeah.
And I'm over with Amanda and Josh.
Okay. And over with Evan and Carly.
Yeah, I'm definitely over with Evan Carly.
Okay, so
they might as well just get married right now and like we'll forget about them.
That'd be good. Yeah, then we don't have to have them back on the shows. Carly, you know, had her heartbreak before and she went with like the complete opposite of Kirk this time. So something's got to work.
Would you rather make out with a guy named Kirk or a guy named Evan?
Well, I'd rather make out with Kirk from The Bachelor than Evan from The Bachelor, but in general, I'd say Evan is a hotter name. It just doesn't fit. Like, Kirk is like a weird name, but
yeah, like Kirk is like, I got a Kirk in my neck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jessica Frey, likelihood that Jen is an intruder on the next Bachelor.
0.000. Like, I feel like Jen has way more to gain from like not looking like a despy girl on television.
And I think she's like, even tweeted, like, somebody, was it Dana, the Possessionista, or somebody was like, who's going to return to, you know, I might be getting the wrong people, but I think Jen on Twitter was like, not I, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like, I don't, no, I thanks. Think she's done here.
Jeremiah Panhorse, so a post-show recaps host. How are we supposed to root for Nick when he said no to love?
Yeah, I think this is a valid point. How are we supposed to root for him? I think we have to root for the fact that he's going to be much better television than any of the Bachelors in the past. He's like an extremely good narrator, and he's also been through this ringer so many times that he knows how it works, and he knows what to say, and he understands what makes good television. So I think whether or not we believe in his journey of love, I believe wholeheartedly that this is going to be a very good season.
Yeah, and I also believe that his parents probably want to kill him because they were like, why is he going back on Bachelorette? And it'll be interesting family visits.
When he started on this hashtag journey, his youngest sister was like 10.
Yeah.
And she's going to be in like college by the time he's done with the Bachelorette.
She'll be like walking down the aisle and be like, come on, like, you're the last one. Yeah. Also, I have a feeling like his season will be kind of surprising, where I predict that, you know, there's going to be somebody that he is like totally his type, you know, like another like Caitlin or Andy, like really outspoken, and they're going to, or someone will have really strong chemistry right away. But I don't think that will be who he picks. They'll be like, you know, like the Brit or the Olivia or, you know, someone like that. And that might stick around longer, but I have a feeling that it's just going to be sort of an unexpected pick for him, because he'll have that time to
kind of like Catherine.
Yeah, exactly, like have that time to feel it out. And I think it'll be also, I think he can form really genuine connections with multiple people, plus he can fake it well for TV. So I think it will be more, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll stay unspoiled as we do, and then it will be more unpredictable. Like, we'll get to the final four and be like, I don't know who's gonna leave, which is my favorite kind of season.
Yes.
Ryan Hilliard, who is most likely from this cast to return for BIP4, assuming there will be one? So, who that didn't find love?
Wells
for sure. Good call.
And I think we're gonna see Izzy back, and she's gonna really have that redemption arc of like, I made a huge mistake, like, I'm gonna really follow my heart this time and stick true to my gut. I think she's gonna be there. Do you really like see someone who's on last season, kind of like a Sarah?
Oh, like skipping a season?
Yeah.
Like, would they go back to Marcus and Lacey because they're broken up now or something?
Ooh, give me Marcus. Yes.
That'd be good.
Yeah, give me Marcus.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they admit that it didn't work for one of the couples.
Say that again? Oh, will they admit it?
Would they want to admit that it did work for one of the couples, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, hasn't stopped them before. You know, even though, yeah, they really did draw attention to it. But Marcus would be good to have back, I think. Or get somebody like Grant, somebody who was like tethered down before, like Graham, or where, like, give them the other chance.
Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody like that. And yeah, and bring Ben Z, the promised Ben Z, to us finally. Because I've been waiting.
He's still my beating heart.
And then kind of sort of a similar question, but instead of who had the failed relationships and coming back, Ariel Kalish Glassman wants to know which of these couples, if any, will last long enough to make an appearance, sort of like Jade and Tanner, to give the hope to the couples on next summer's BIP.
Maybe they'll have all three of them back. Like, I can't see them picking any particular one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I don't know. Like, oh, kind of like
how they had
Evan, like, and Carly.
Molly.
Yeah, like the
Jason.
Panel in the first season.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. But yeah, at least they can all come back and be like, look how many couples there are. But I think, you know what, you're probably right that Lace and Grant, they seem the most likely for like the real world to impact them too much. And mm-hmm. it not work.
And out. I just don't think Amanda and Josh together are likable enough to mm-hmm. be in that role.
Yeah, I mean, he never lets Amanda talk, so, and she'd probably have better advice. Let's see. We also have a couple more tweets. Let's go to at Marlon Vargas on Twitter. I have so many things to say, but did you see the photo Carly uploaded to her Instagram today? So Carly's been putting... You said you did some Insta lurking. Carly's had quite a few.
Yes.
But I think this was about the one where they're in disguise, maybe? Or would it be the one where...
Yeah, I think so, too.
But she also had one where she's like, I have one brother left that isn't engaged. The other two Waddells are like, two down, one to go. And so
yeah, that was also weird.
That was weird.
I don't know. Maybe he's going to be on, like, next season of The Bachelorette.
Could be. He was looked pretty good looking. So
yeah.
Yeah, her family is like bachelor cast royalty, I guess. You know, sibling pairs, since her brother was on Desiree's season. Let's see. Oh, this is we didn't talk too much about the chicken enthusiast. So at Lake RR80 says, why do they keep bringing new people on BIP so late? What is the point? Chicken enthusiasts never stood a chance. So really, what is the point? Why? What
so
did they think,
like,
she was going to do?
Frustrate us.
Right. And just to have somebody to have Ashley I freak out a little more or something.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it seems pointless and it's frustrating and it's, like, not fair to that person.
Right. And then I just thought this was funny. At Jocelyn Chartier at Jocely says, did Evan really talk up his patio or what? What a weird thing to be excited for. Because Carly was like, I can't wait to sit on his patio. And I was like,
did she mean his, like, D?
Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm glad she said patio there, because I hope
his
it wasn't
patio.
Face. Yeah. Apparently, you know, maybe his business is doing really well. He's got a gorgeous home in Nashville and a lot to, you know, put on his resume there and intrigue Carly once she got to know him better. So we covered our tweets. We also got some emails, and our email will last throughout
forever.
The season, even though it's the finale. So, you know, if there's things that you want to alert us to in the off season,
if you want to, like, find more info about this Luke sitch, like,
yeah,
send it
if
to
anyone
us,
is
guys.
Like on the scene in Texas. Let us know.
If you got knocked up by Luke, Colorado.
You can be a guest on our podcast, free of charge. So here is from, let's see, Andrea. She says, I know After Paradise isn't canon, but I had this revelation. I would love to see Michelle Collins and Jenny Mollen co-host After Paradise. No offense to Sean Lowe, but he's not adding much to the show, and I miss Jenny Mollen. Why does ABC feel the need to include a token male co-host in this after show? Or is it the funny man / straight man dynamic they're trying to keep balanced? As he likes to make it clear every week, Sean Lowe is the straightest man in America. Thoughts?
Last night was the first time I watched it, and I love Michelle Collins. I thought she was great without being, like, too crass. But, like, I felt like Jenny Mollen sometimes crossed over the line, and mm-hmm. that's fine with me. I like her. I thought Michelle was able to kind of reel it in a little bit more, and I did like her dynamic with Sean, but, like, Sean is, like, a piece of white bread to me. Like, ugh, whatever. Yeah, I would love to see Jenny and Michelle, or even give me Nikki Glaser and Michelle. She was there last night. Or even Paul Scheer and Michelle. I know we were trying to stray away from the guy-girl dynamic, but, like, I think Paul Scheer is really great, and I would love to see him on like everything. So
yeah, I think they feel it's like Sean is there, because I watched the first episode and they're like, both Michelle and Sean were like, thank you so much to Chris Harrison for letting us like just sort of acknowledging that he wasn't on it and that mm-hmm. he like gave his blessing, or that he was like a legend. It was just ridiculous. And I don't think Chris Harrison was ever the right person. So whoever he was paired with to co-host, it's like, he's just not going to be a good co-host. He's used to being a host. And he also can't really talk well about the show because he knows what happens, you know? So it's just not enjoyable. Whereas at least we can believe that Sean and Michelle are just watching it as
like,
viewers.
I love that Michelle and Sean gave like a fresh take.
Yeah. And I think they just want Sean as like that success story. And yeah, he's bland, but he, you know, a lot of the viewers
he's
love
like
him.
Their puppet. He'll do whatever they want him to.
Yeah. And Michelle can find ways to make him look good or play off of him. So the show definitely improved this season with them. I just don't feel like they need to have all those guests sometimes because they don't get to them as often. But someone like Nikki Glaser, of course, or Paul Scheer are great additions, but sometimes it's a little bit forced, or if they're calling people on Skype, it's still a little cluttered on that show. But I didn't watch enough, unfortunately, of the show when Jenny Mollin was on to really give an opinion on that. This says, this is from Dan. Hi, guys. How would you improve the ending of BIP? BIP is great fun until the last week, when Harrison insists that they have to decide if they're in true love or else leave immediately in abject shame, doomed to wander the world as loveless losers, babbling about the right reasons and being vulnerable. This appears to be getting worse each season, where now the only two choices are an extremely premature engagement or a tear-filled breakup. Why send in the chicken girl if the only way for her to win the show is to get engaged a day after showing up? What would be your idea for how to end the show? Thanks, Dan. A really good question.
Yeah, so like this has always been our biggest issue with Bachelor in Paradise. The first season, it was super clunky, and I feel like they ironed a little bit of the kinks out for season two. It still wasn't flawless, but it satisfied me. Here, I think they're going too far in the other direction, where it's like you're either engaged or you're broken up. There's no in between, and that's frustrating to me. I feel like, like I said before, one of these couples ending up dating is also a satisfying ending for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they had that whole show on Fox, Coupled, and it was just about, like, are you going to be coupled at the end of it? It wasn't engaged, and it wasn't the greatest show, but it's like, yeah, that's a significant commitment.
And yeah, let's just, like, ease into this. What I would do to fix the show, honestly, is just, like, have it go year-round, just like always have this spot in Mexico. If you're there for 3 weeks with the same person, you get to get out of there and you're replaced. Just like keep it going, just like a constant stream of people, so it always stays fresh and it's like never, you're never that last person.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the Big Brother house, and then it goes to like the
web-based
like not
version. Feasible, but that's what I want.
That would be nice, even if it could last all summer when they film it and be more live. That would be good. That would be a little more realistic, because we see actual showmances form in Big Brother. So if they're pulled from the real world for that long, instead of like this 4 weeks or whatever they are, you know, that would be good.
So expedited. It's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, I think the chicken girl, it's like they just had these people, like they had with these throwaway guys that they just were like, hey, we just need someone to arrive first, because nothing interesting is happening and it is pointless. But they just want even someone like Jen, or, you know, all the girls that were after Wells, to just doubt it a little more and be like, oh, who's this? And yeah, it's really dumb. This is an email we got from Andy. Hi, Amy and Haley. Great pod during this BIP season. Thanks. So Carly and Evan are engaged. ... Wow. I was starting to think that Carly was asexual or mentally disturbed, but stand-up comedian Nikki Glaser cleared up everything on After Paradise. Apparently, rumor has it that Evan is in fact a sexual dynamo. Carly just had to get past the sloppy kisses and weasel-like veneer to discover the magic that is Evan in the sack. So with that in mind, I'd love to hear Haley describe, in detail, Evan and Carly's adventure in the fantasy suite. And I still think you two should do an extra bonus pod during the off season, just about whatever you feel like talking about. Best regards, Andy. So, Haley, are you up to the challenge?
There is nothing. Oh, God, no, I'm not. I can't bring myself to talk about Evan's nether regions for any more than I've had to this season. And even just like watching Nikki be like, yeah, is he great in the sack? I was like dying on the side.
So did Carly answer it or was she like, I don't even want to watch this at all.
Darn.
Okay, good. Thanks. But thank you for the kind words, Andy. And
I will. Okay. Like I'm doing this. I'm sending Amy the thing. So it's going to get to you. It's fine. We're going to do this.
Oh, yes. Because he was our winner.
Yes.
Last time for writing a review.
And he doesn't hate us yet. So
that's great. And then so Andy mentioned doing a bonus podcast, which thank you for suggesting. We're thinking of ideas. We have another question from Tia Town Sean. Says, will you be podcasting The Bachelorette Canada?
So here's the thing. We're very tired. We like our vacation. And The Bachelor Canada starts next week. Or Bachelor Canada starts next week. And so we got a little burned with the last Bachelor Canada. We tried to watch it and it was just so brutal, which was really unfortunate because the first season was great. And so I'm really hoping that this season of The Bachelorette is going to be great too. We're gonna watch it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be harder for Amy to find, but she's going to try her best because she's the best. So I think what Amy and I are going to try and do this off season, we're not making a whole lot of promises because both of our schedules are a little effy. We'll probably try and get together like once a month or so, come up with like a special pod. You know, we'll talk about Bachelor in Canada. We'll talk about Lance Bass's new show. We'll talk about whatever kind of dating reality show comes up. Maybe do like a 5 for 5. We're just going to talk about things. We haven't proposed this to Rob yet, or Scott. So we got to do that first. There's going to be a lot going on in the fall. But if you really like us, tweet them and tell them that you'll miss us too much in the off season to not have anything from us.
Yeah. So, and email us or tweet us suggestions.
We're
going
to try our best to do this.
If there's some good, great show that's love dating related that we're not aware of or that you'd like us to give an opinion on, yeah, we would love to do it. We like anything cheesy, romantic, and dramatic. So
yeah, we're not gonna go we're gonna try and not go totally radio silent during this off season, but we are gonna enjoy our vacation, that's for sure.
Yeah we're not full-time podcasters, so I have errands to catch up on.
I work 7 days a week and I always want to cry. So.
Yeah, that's terrible. But we really want to thank you all for listening and supporting this podcast, for leaving reviews. It really helps out a lot to show Rob that, you know, he should continue us and all that kind of thing and bump us up in the iTunes visibility. And we just love tweeting with you. And
it's honestly why we do this. We love the interaction with our listeners. It makes us really feel like, you know, we're watching the show with people, because I think Amy and I both come from backgrounds where we don't have a lot of people in our lives who actually watch the show. So the fact that we get to watch it every week in a virtual living room and talk to people and have people who are so supportive of what we do is just, I mean, it's, we appreciate it more than you guys will ever know. And we just want to thank you so much for tuning into our, what, this is our,
oh my gosh, is this like year 3 or?
Yeah, this is our ninth, our 8th like season of the franchise.
That's insane.
So awesome to those who've been with us from the beginning, thank you. To those who joined in somewhere along the way, thank you too. We give you our final rose every single time.
Yeah. And if you're missing us, you can go back. If you weren't with us at the beginning, here are our painful beginning podcasts where we're talking about, you know, these characters that you grew to love on Bachelor in Paradise, like Josh and Nick. We were there podcasting about their first appearances on Andy's
season. That was our
season.
First season, yeah.
So dig into the archives. And
And I'm sure you'll hear our voices on other Wrap Up shows or in the Wrap Universe. I can't remember if I talked about it on the last episode, but I did. I must have. I did a 90 Day Fiancé podcast with Jordan where we both got drunk and talked about this disaster of a show. So like we're around. We're gone, but not silent or something like that.
We won't be strangers, so you don't be strangers. So you can follow me at RJP Recapper. Haley, where can they find you?
I'm at HStrong_ on Twitter and Instagram, and HStrong28 on Snapchat.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We've had so much fun covering this stretch of Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, and we cannot wait to podcast about Nick as the Bachelor next season. And we won't be strangers until then. All right. Until next time. Bye.